The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Too many people settle for average because they feel that it's too difficult to go beyond average to exceptional. The tools are all there, but people don't realize the small amount of extra effort that is needed to reap big rewards. Welcome to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. Chris and his guest experts are here to show you where the possibilities lie and what they can do to help you. Now, here is your host, Chris Ruisi.
Hey, everybody, this is Chris Ruisi, and welcome to another episode of Step Up and Play Big with me, Chris Ruisi. We are going to be having a great show today. I've got a great guest, in fact. His name is John Jaslow, and in the spirit of true transparency, I've known John for more years than I will admit to. We both went to college together, old St. Francis College, back at 180 Remsen Street in Brooklyn, New York, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But John is actually a senior partner at the Leadership Capital Group here in New York, and they have offices worldwide. And he's a key member of the firm's IT, financial services, and board and CEO practice areas. And before we get too started, I've got to do a shout out to my marketing person, the person who helps me put together all of my material, Carol. And today is Carol's big birthday, and I'm not allowed to tell you how old Carol is going to be, and I hope she's listening. But today, sometime after 2 o'clock this afternoon, Carol will be jumping out of an airplane. She's going skydiving for the first time. This is on her list. She's bringing a camera. I should have given her a copy of my book to hold and take a picture, but I guess that's doing too much at one time while you hurtle towards Earth. But my attitude is, if God wanted me to fly, I would have been born with wings. But Carol, happy, happy birthday. Maybe I'll see you later, and have a good flight. So, housekeeping items behind us. Today, John and I are going to discuss the value of using executive search to find the right talent to help your organization grow. We're going to dispel all of the myths about executive search consultants, headhunters. God, that's a scary name. First time I met with a headhunter, I was afraid to open the closet door. And how, when used intelligently and with the right search partner, a company will realize significant monetary and productivity returns on the investment they make in securing a key performer. You know, before we go too far, let me just tell all you executives out there, you CEOs who know you need talent, stop hiring farm players. Okay, farm players never develop the way you think they will. Start investing in hiring franchise players, people you can build your franchise around, because their contributions, their productivity will pay you back multi times over than what you might save, if you will, with a farm player. And I've got examples of that with all of my clients. Now, John's going to review with us executive search from three distinct but related perspectives: the clients, the candidates, and that of the search consultant. Now, he's a leader who works with leaders. He also does leadership coaching. And we're also going to ask John to talk a little bit about that. And he has a keen interest in innovation, and he's written extensively about that. So let me give you a little more info on John's bio, and then we'll get John right on the air here. John is a senior partner of Leadership Capital Group in the firm's New York office. As I mentioned, he's a key member of the firm's IT, financial services, and their board and CEO practice areas. He's recruited CEOs, CIOs, chief investment officers, or his chief, IT officers, and other senior leaders for many global industries like Ford, General Motors, Cooper Industries, AIG, a company I know very well, and JP Morgan Chase, to name a few. He's also assisted private equity and VC firms in identifying and recruiting senior executives for their portfolio of companies. Previously, John was an executive VP of one of the largest retained search firms and was also managing director and president and founder of JVJ Associates, an HR consulting and executive search firm. Now, prior to all this, John led NYNX Development Company as its president and CEO. He holds a degree in economics from St. Francis College and is a graduate of the Brown University Graduate School of Banking, and he has completed a number of advanced courses at Harvard and is a professional certified leadership coach. So in addition to being a smart guy, John is also a very talented and proven leader and executive. John, thanks so much for being on the show today.
No, you're welcome, Chris. Thank you so much, and good afternoon to you.
You too. John and I were just commenting that it's a little hot and muggy today, you know. Six
well, you know, after the winter that we've had here,
exactly.
I won't say just northeast the country, there's not one complaint that comes out of my mouth about hot weather.
I hear you. Hey, John, let's, before I do that, let me remind everybody today that if you want to call in and ask John a question, you can do that at 1-866-472-5790. And for those of you who are too shy to have your voice heard on the radio, you can email me at chris@chrisruisi.com. I've got my laptop right next to me. And let me take a shameless plug for my book, Step Up and Play Big, which you can get on Amazon. And for those of you who are looking to like me, you can go to facebook.com/coachchrisruisi. So, John, tell me, how did you first get the bug to get into executive search?
Fighting and kicking.
Okay.
is when I decided to transition out of corporate America when I was at 9X, an officer there, and we had sold a whole bunch of unregulated businesses. And this is back in 1994, so a different world than it is now, more analog, less digital. I had started a strategic consulting firm, management consulting firm, and was probably working harder at my own business than I ever did in my life, and I've always been a hard worker. And I saw this, ad on the internet, and it said, a prominent IT consulting firm seeks partner. And I said, this would be a good way to get more meat around my bones and merge my little business into a bigger business. And lo and behold, it was a search firm. It was Handy HRM, was a search firm, which is no longer in business. And when I got the call and they had asked me, you answered an ad. I said, no, I didn't. I wasn't an ad. I was a way of merging my business. And they said, well, and then they identified themselves as a headhunting firm. And I said, that's the last thing I wanted to do. I have no appreciation for what the industry did. I mean, I was pretty brutally candid about it. And well, here it is, 18 years later, I'm a headhunter. And when I heard you use that expression earlier, I remember my mom, God rest her soul, saying, so what do you do now for a living? I said, Mom, I'm a headhunter. What are you, a cannibal? she could understand banker. She could understand technology executive. She could understand when I worked for American Express. She could not understand headhunting. So,
it's traumatic though. It really
that's
is.
That's right. So that's how I kind of stumbled, into the business.
And you never looked back.
And I never looked back until 2008.
Yeah. How did the industry change from then, John?
Dramatically. We're so linked now into this global economy. I mean, any hiccup that happens anywhere has a ripple effect throughout the rest of the world. And some would argue, I'll put my economics hat on, and the depression of the 1920s was certainly a terrible event. I think in a lot of respects 2008 was even worse, because we almost had industries, not several industries, totally go into the can. And what normally happens is, and rightfully so, people throttle back, they get into a cost reduction mode, and that's what happened. And it was a knee-jerk, to a certain extent, overreaction in terms of the people asset they have to kind of placate Wall Street on their short-term views. And the industry, overreacted, got rid of more people than it should, but they started, to come back slowly and started doing a lot of it on their own. As an example, pre-2008, it was rare, extremely rare, to go to a website of a major company, and I'll define that right now as Fortune 500s,
yep,
and see VP, senior VP, or EVP positions posted on their career part of their website. Now it's almost commonplace. So as the industry learned to do a little bit without so-called executive retain and contingent search firms, they did more and more on their own. And lo and behold, they found that, well, maybe we're not as efficient doing this, but you know what? We're saving $10, $15, $20 million in search fees. So it really changed the business from the mindset of valued partner, like you would view an auditing firm or an outside legal firm, to commodity business.
You're a transactional vendor.
Exactly. And you know what? Shame on the industry, meaning my industry, is that's right. We became a lot more transaction focused and less relationship driven. And then when you don't become relationship driven, you don't ever get to be invited to the main table as a trusted advisor.
Yeah, and the goal is to become that trusted advisor.
Without a doubt. The most important thing, Chris, here is when you think about, if you think about just from a CEO perspective, all right, a CEO does a lot of things. You've been a CEO, I've been a CEO, and many of our listeners probably have been CEOs and are CEOs. You need to set a strategy and to change that strategy when it's time to do so, or to react to changing economic or market conditions. You need to take limited allocation of resources and allocate them properly and change that around. And you know what? That should be a third of your time. Two-thirds of your time should be worried about your most important asset, and it's the asset you have no control over, and it's called people.
Yep.
And the true leaders that have that in their mind, like a guy like Jack Welch, who was always out in the hinterland, always out asking people what they did for him and what value and what they needed to succeed, it's going to come back and bite you.
No, you're right. I mean, I think companies, well, sure, they see numbers like $10, $20 million a year in search fees, and maybe there's some validity for that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I sometimes wonder, some people are left to their own devices, might be the wrong person to make the final selection, well, the wrong person to put the qualified candidate in front of them.
Yeah.
And you, in your industry and the expertise you bring to the table, is that extra set of eyes and mind, mm-hmm, to filter through the things that maybe they are not looking at because they're, mm-hmm, so anxious to fill the job.
Right.
Or they don't know how to filter it out.
Right. Agreed. And you know what? To a certain extent, when times are good, and there's never enough money, but when the profit, net profits are up and people are paying a little less attention and they're using more consultants and outside advisors and search consultants and whatnot, they may not look at the metrics as closely as they should. But when times tightened up and got worse, a lot of this was driven by poor performance. We're paying all this money to these search firms, and this is not an issue of big search firms or little search firms or specialized search firms. It's all search firms. There's a lot more of a critical eye, and you know what? If you're a poor performer and you don't do what you say you were going to do, guess what? You're not going to get invited back to the dance, are you?
No, exactly right. It hinges upon the results of each search that you're given,
mm-hmm,
but it also hinges upon, as you said before, the relationships that you build in between,
mm-hmm,
assignments that, and I call that, the expression, if the student hasn't learned, maybe the teacher hasn't taught. And what I see as a value add from what you do, John, is the stuff in between searches,
mm-hmm,
where you nurture relationship and really become my trusted advisor,
mm-hmm,
where I could pick up the phone and say, hey, John, what do you think about this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're there. Maybe you don't have the answer right away, but you're going to be there back to me, and you become a confidant.
Absolutely. I remember when I was working for the former CEO of Ford Motor Company, Jack Nasser, and one of the things that tickled me and where I thought where I really thought I was adding value is I got a call from him one day, and the call was, I need your opinion on something. When are you going to be in Dearborn? I'd like for you to come down to the office and talk to me about this aspect about my business and the impact on people. And it had nothing to do with search.
That's a home run.
And if I had a smile in my face since I've been doing search for 18 years, that put a big smile on my face. And that's when you know, because I always look at it from the standpoint of, you know, there's a whole bunch of metrics that you look through while you're doing the search. You look at, you know, what's the diversity in terms of female, male, in terms of gender, in terms of racial profile, in terms of placement success, time to completion. How many of your place candidates stay there? How long do they stay there? How many do they get promoted? And Chris, all of those things are really important. But the most important metric starts when the search is over.
I got it. Well, that's a great way to end this first segment.
Okay.
I'm with John Jaslow, my guest today. So stay there. We'll be back in about 90 seconds.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting ChrisRuisi.com and clicking the book.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to chris@chrisruisi.com, or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit ChrisRuisi.com to step up and play big.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to chris@chrisruisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
And this is Chris Ruisi, and thanks for staying and coming back with us. My guest today is John Jaslow, a senior partner at Leadership Capital Group. We're talking about executive search. First segment, we kind of went over the general specifics. We maybe had a 30,000-foot look. And now we're going to drill down into what we had in our outline for today's show about looking at search from the client's perspective, the candidate's perspective, and the consultant's perspective. And as always, feel free to call in with your questions, 866-472-5790, or email them in to me at chris@chrisruisi.com. And if you do that, I'll send you a copy of my book and some Step Up and Play Big chocolate for your effort. So, John, you gave me some material about our show today, mm-hmm. our discussion items. And one of them, we talked about the search industry perspective post-2008 from the client perspective, the candidate perspective, and the consultant's perspective. Mm-hmm. Now, on the client perspective, you talk about the impact of the economy, the new landscape or new ways of doing business, and the metrics of an evaluation of the leadership qualities required today. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to leave it up to you to talk about those three points in any way you want.
Okay. That'd be great. So picking up as we ended the first segment – From the client perspective, one of the things, and I'm glad they did this, because even though I've been doing search for 18 years, when I was in this industry, I bought a lot of search, from, some of the hallmark search firms, such as Heidrick and Spencer Stewart, Russell Reynolds and whatnot, and some from some boutique and specialty firms. And, I really don't get, even as a search consultant, don't get the way, the pricing mechanism was set. And generally speaking, in a retained search, not talking about contingency search, retained search firm, it was 30%, it was usually 33 1/3 of the first year's cash compensation paid, 1/3 up front, 1/3 in 30 days, and 1/3 in 60 days. Which basically said is I'm getting paid for the work that I'm doing, but I'm not really getting paid for producing anything along the lines of the search. And to me, that didn't make much sense. What made more sense to me was for the risk associated in doing a search should be two-sided, not one-sided. So all the risk shouldn't be taken upon the shoulders of the client. It should be shared by the client and the consulting firm. And I'm a firm believer in doing it on milestones. And more each day I see clients demanding more of that. So, for instance, 1/3 would be paid of the fee would be paid up front. 1/3 when you produce a slate of candidates at some agreeable number between the search consulting firm and the client. That doesn't mean it's got to be 25 people. That doesn't mean it has to be one. It has to be a reasonable number, somewhere in the 4-to-8 ratio. So when you produce a slate of candidates that has been vetted, that meets all the main requirements and to a certain extent exceeds them, and has been checked out, in at least preliminarily in terms of references, then a second payment is released. And the third, when the person signs the offer letter and shows up on day one. Right. And as right. I said in the earlier in a segment, that's when the process really begins, when the person gets placed. So that, I think, from a client perspective, if you want to make them, I mean, what makes them happy is success at a reasonable price, but really makes them happy is, okay, provide me some milestones that I can really measure, not after the search is completed, but while the search is going on.
Well, you're both rowing in the same direction now, and you both have a vested interest. And then you're engaging the client to be an active participant in the process.
Right, exactly. And then, in terms of, this soft and soft and hard qualities, it doesn't take, not to make fun of myself and my colleagues in this industry, it doesn't take rocket scientists to figure out if a CFO can be a CFO, or a CIO can be a CIO, or a CEO can be a CEO. It's really those soft qualities that and the cultural fit which are the most important aspects from a client perspective and from a consultant perspective that are truly, what's going to turn an assignment into success.
And let me stop right there, John, if I can. Sorry to interrupt you. Talk about the cultural fit, how critical that is.
It's everything. I mean, in a word, it's everything. I can't say how many times in the 18 years, and I've done hundreds and hundreds of searches, that, a person shows up for day one, and there's no onboarding process. There's not anybody leading. Here's your office. Here's the, humorously, here's the keys to the bathroom. There's your parking spot. Good luck. We'll see you in 100 days and see what you've produced. Those cultural aspects are really the fit and finish with their colleagues. If we're talking about the C-level suite, getting them totally on board with one another, getting to know what value they bring to the company, getting to know how they can work cohesively and collaboratively together, knowing how that their boss, what's the panic buttons, all those things are super important. And not enough, in my opinion, there's not enough investigation of that. And one of the things that we do, and this is not a plug of my company, but one of the things that I do is...
It's okay to plug your company. Go ahead.
One of the things, and I think we're the only ones that do this, as part of the what we call the letter agreement or contract, is we stay with that person by offering the place candidate 6 months of leadership coaching. So it's not life coaching, it's leadership coaching. How to be more effective at what you're going to do for that company and how you're going to be able to interact better and more efficiently and more effectively with the team, both internal and external. And that does several things. It protects the investment for the client. It protects the investment for the consulting company, because all of us are on a hook for a certain period of time. Some offer 6 months, some offer 1 year, very few offer 2 years of protection. So it does do that, but the way we do it is the conversations that we have and the communication that we have with the candidate for that 6 months of free coaching, which, by the way, I want to define as 2 hours per month times six, so 12 hours of coaching, is completely between and private between me, using me as the example, and that place candidate. So there's no playback to the boss to say, oh, this person doesn't like that, or this is not going well, or he's not working, or she's not working well with another colleague. It's really to be, and we're not psychologists, it's really to be a friendly pair of ears that has experience not only doing search, but business experience in helping them be more successful.
And you know, I'm going to plug your company for a second here, because having, again, my experience is somewhat dated, but in most cases, after some of the alphabet name firms, mm-hmm. When a candidate is placed, that consultant moves on. Maybe there's a perfunctory call here and there, but at some point in time, the candidate's on his own. He's working without a net. And yeah, we pay these folks a lot of money to work without a net, mm-hmm. but what John and his firm are offering is the opportunity to have a net in place to make sure that that relationship gets off on the right foot. So if you're out there thinking about a search, and this is my show and I can do this, you need to be getting in touch with the Leadership Capital Group and John. And their URL is the, let's see, it's lcgsearch.com.
Correct.
So, John, I that's my plug for your company. And, I can
well,
do
thank
that.
You.
This is my show. You know, there's very few things that I can do on my own,
right.
But this is one of them. So, John, we've got about 3 minutes left before the end of this segment.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move now to the candidate perspective. We
sure.
talk about the new calling card, risk factors of
yep.
change.
Yep.
How do you address those things?
Very bluntly with the candidate. First of all, I'll generalize. I would say more than half of the candidates that I've spoken to in very senior jobs, so we're talking C-level suite, more than half of them become unprepared. And they don't know how to interview, which is obviously, you know, the resume, you know, my advice and my observation is the resume doesn't win you the job.
Right.
What the resume does, it's an extended business card that if enough of the right stuff is on it in terms of what the client's looking for, it'll get you invited to the meeting, and that's all it will do.
So, and I believe that the first one-third of the resume is really where the guts are.
There's no two ways about it. And so I always try to counsel where candidates get it wrong is don't show me 7 or 8 pages of whatever. Because that is meaningless. You could be the most accomplished business executive in the world, right? I had the fortune of working. Sometimes I was fortunate to work for Lou Gerstner at American Express, who's a brilliant man and a
yep.
brilliant leader and tremendously successful. And Lou should have no more than a 2-page resume. If he was looking for a job, he should have no more than a 2-page resume. So that's number one. The calling card is out of whack, and it must be quantifiable. You know, you must have metrics in there that gives, first of all, the search consultant, because the search consultant's not going to pass you on to the client unless you convince the search consultant. It's got to be on the mark in terms of here's the job, here's what they're looking for. How do I match to that scenario? And that's not done enough. Second thing from I think the candidates have to get better at is little things count more than big things. I find that an interview that I've set in on, because what I offer to the client is I'll sit in the interview that the client has with the candidate, is the client will ask a question, and by the way, sometimes the client doesn't ask very smart questions either, and yep. I try to lead them and give them questions to ask. Is they'll ask them a question, and the candidate will just rattle on and on and on and on to the point where, guess what? You got about 3 to 5 minutes, probably more 3 minutes than 5 minutes, to give a picture of who you are to that client, which then says, if it's an hour meeting, I want to continue to talk to you for 57 more minutes.
Yep.
Because if you're not successful in that first 3 to 5 minutes, you may get the 55 to 57 minutes left, but guess what? They're not listening.
Great. Let's. This is a great point. That's a great segue to end this segment, John.
Okay.
And then we'll pick it up again in the next segment. So stay there. This is a great conversation. I've already got a page and a half of notes. Stay there. We'll be back in about 90 seconds.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to chris@chrisruisi.com, or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit chrisruisi.com to step up and play big.
Get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN.
Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting chrisruisi.com and clicking the book.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to chris@chrisruisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
And this is Chris Ruisi, and we're back for our third segment with my guest today, John Jaslow of the Leadership Capital Group. And we've had a great discussion thus far on the whole idea of executive search, headhunting, as we talked about it before. And John, in the last segment, was giving us the lowdown on what the candidates should be thinking about in terms of their demeanor, their resume, the questions that they should be prepared to answer and so forth. But John, as I mentioned on the break, we got a question from a lady named Carol in Virginia. Carol, thanks for sending in your question via email. Send me your address and I will send you a book and some Step Up and Play Big chocolate. But John, Carol asks, should the search consultant have experience in my industry?
That's a great question, Carol. And the win-win-win, all right, if you think about three concentric circles, all right, the real A-plus is the search consultant would have experience in the industry, experience in the function, and you know what? To a certain extent, if the consultant comes with industry experience before being a search consultant, has done that job. That's rare to find that 100%. Especially in that last component that I just mentioned. But that's the real win. Now, that being said, all right, You know, if you think about the very large firms, the big five, big six, they're in all functions, they're in all geographies, they're in all industries. They're huge firms. The smaller retained firms, or what we refer to as boutiques, have a tendency of specializing more. For instance, my firm, we specialize in data-intensive industries. So industries that use big data, and that comprises of a lot of different industries. But we have a specialty in that area. But now I'm going to sound like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, but I'm really not. I'm a firm believer if you have very good process and methodology, and you have the right tools to use the right tools correctly, you can do just about anything. Now, I'll give you a personal example that's something that I would not do. Far be it for me to talk myself out of some business, is if someone wanted to engage me to find an oncology specialist, say not only a practitioner, but someone was running a practice for a hospital or something, that's probably something that I would not take. Mm-hmm. Only for the reason is, if I ask, I would know the questions to ask, but I wouldn't understand the answers. But in terms of functions, whether it be finance, marketing, sales, operations, technology, administration, I would feel very comfortable doing any of those. So it really depends. It really depends on, you know, what you're really trying to accomplish. If you really want a person, a search consultant that has a very strong network in a very specific industry, in a very specific area, go find a search consultant that has that experience.
Okay. Another question just came in. We got them going now, John. This is okay. This is also from a fellow named John in Chicago. John, same offer that I made Carol. Send me your address, and I'll send you a book and some chocolate. But John wants to know, what criteria should a company use to select the right search consultant?
Well, there's a lot of answers to that question. Good question, John. Success ratio. How successful have they been in putting the football over the line? So you want to look at their placement ratio, and this is where metrics do come in place. Their placement ratio, their stick rate, how long that person stays with that company. So if they're doing any do-overs, if I may use it, that term in that light. So
sure.
there are protections. If you give a one-year guarantee, you don't want the person to walk out in 13 months and a consultant saying, well, I got the person there for 1 year. That's not a very successful ratio. And the other metric that I would use is not only how long they're there, but how often have they been promoted? How successful have they been at the job in terms of more value that they bring to that client? So those are things that I would look at.
Listen, this is to John in Chicago. John, what John just said is great, and I would urge you to go to their website. As I mentioned, that's lcgsearch.com, and they have a very extensive brochure describing their firm, and they put it right out there, all of their metrics on their searches, all the things that John explained. So that information is there. Go to their website and get it, and you can't go wrong by following what they have, and then give them a call. Okay, John, let's go back to the third perspective we talked about before, the consultant's perspective today.
Okay. I'm going to do that. I want to just bring one little other aspect on the
sure.
candidate side that that we ran out of time a little bit, and I could be
sure.
brief on this, is when you're looking for a job, and it's always better to be, you know, sometimes this is dictated by economy, layoffs, and a whole bunch of other things, but if you're a minister with portfolio and you're networking, network with a purpose. You must, and this sounds a little self-serving, but it's really not from my point of view, and I'll say what I mean about that in a second, is value the, appreciate and respect the time of the search consultant. So if you just send him or her a resume, and you expect that person without knowing you, alright, at all, or very little, to drop everything and try to find you a job. First of all, that's not what they do. When retained search is not a placement agency. It's not a contingent agency. It's a consultant like an auditor or a management consultant or a legal advisor. respect that time and be helpful. Try to be helpful, because I can't tell you how many calls I receive, and I answer, I take, and all will call back every candidate that calls me. I if people make the effort, I should make the effort to say I appreciate what you're doing, and I try to be helpful as I can. But you can't, you work for the client, not for the candidate. So you have to understand it. So I would say try to be helpful and be brief, and you'll get a lot more mileage out of that networking way of doing it than the other.
Great points.
Now, from the consultant thing, from the consultant angle, I'll reinforce what I said earlier, Chris, and that is the search only begins at the end of the search. You don't just walk away from the search then. That's when you have to ingratiate yourself. You have to have and can think about the long-term best interest of your client. You have to invest a lot of time at the beginning of the search, during the search, and after the search, really knowing your client and his culture. Because the way I view it is, when I'm out there talking about the business of my client and trying to find them people, I'm not Leadership Capital Group. I'm ABC Corporation. Mm-hmm. I am their extended, asset to try to help them win and hold, retain, and promote a superior talent. So you have to invest a lot of the time, and some of some firms, you know, will have, you know, they'll break up the company into, well, there's rainmakers and there's executors. And the rainmakers go out and get the business, and then they kind of walk away from the business, and they give it to, and I'm not finding fault with junior people, but give the assignment to junior people. And you know what? That's not going to win major points with the client. What's going to win major points with the client is that you're totally involved from beginning to end, and that end is a dubious term. You need to be extremely practical in your approach. Pragmatic, practical approach is what's going to make you more successful, and you got to think about the leadership qualities that the person is looking for, such as being involved, taking an active interest, finding people that are enthusiastic and passionate. It's almost like being a kid in the job, because that enthusiasm and passion is infectious, and the entire team is going to see that.
Attitude, it comes across.
Without a doubt. Most important thing. It's less about I, and it's more about we. When I'm interviewing, if I constantly hear, I did this, I did that, I accomplished this, I'm turned off. And usually, I'm a very polite, respectful, and fun guy. I'll end the interview almost immediately if I hear too much of that. It's really about I, and you have to look for ways a person and leads by example. I'm taking this from the consultant approach. These are the things, and it really fits more into that culture, soft aspects of the business. And you got to look for people that are willing to share credit. They develop and they share credit. You know, so that's from my viewpoint, those are the most important aspects, you know, from a client, candidate, and consultant perspective.
Well, that's great. I mean, you know, I read once, and I think I even wrote something similar to it, that effective leaders, the right leaders, know how to share the glory and hug the mistakes and the failures.
Mm-hmm. I learned this from a mentor when I was a young pup manager, and actually in banking when I was in my 20s, and I remember him saying to me, "So, Jaslo, what are you doing now?" I said, "Well, I'm sitting at my desk, I'm doing work." He says, "No, get off, I'll clean it up." But he says, "Get off your rear end and go around and walk the hallways."
Yeah.
And learn the business of the business, and learn how the people are doing their aspects, and learn about where they're failing, where they're succeeding, what's working, what's not working, and never stop doing that.
You know, John, that's an interesting point. We've got about a minute and a half before this segment ends. But I'm a firm believer, in the realm of your leadership coaching, how important is it for a leader to learn how to ask questions?
Super important. Quite honestly, I'll quote my mother again. You have one mouth and you have two ears. Use them in the right proportion.
Right.
And you know what? And you find out a lot more. Successful CEOs that I have worked with, they're constantly asking questions. They throw it back. Boss, I'm having a problem with this. When I was a CEO of a major unit, of 9X, I would sit down with my people. My door is always open. Always come in to me and talk about what's working and what's not working. But don't just come and say, this is not working, what do you want me to do? Come with me and say it's not working. Why do you think it's not working? And what other things do you want to explore? And I would constantly ask them more questions about it. And then they said, oh, then I should be doing this. I said, well, you don't need me, right?
Yeah, you're right. My first mentor taught me how to ask. I was a victim of his reflective questions, which taught me two things. One, how to ask questions, and number two, that I actually had the answers. I just needed some additional guidance. Well, we're at the end of the third segment. This is going by fast, which means it must be really good. So we're going to be back in 90 seconds. Stay there.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio. Voice America Business Network.
Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting ChrisRuisi.com and clicking the book.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to chris@chrisruisi.com, or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit ChrisRuisi.com to step up and play big.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to chris@chrisruisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
And this is Chris Ruisi, and we're back for our final segment. As I said before, this is going real good, very quickly, which means it's a good show, a lot of exchange of information, and John's been doing a great job talking about executive search. And again, I got to stress to you, you out there that are in the C-suite or your leaders of organizations, don't be cheap and think you can do this correctly on your own. Find the right consultant to help you out, and we've got a great one on the show today with us. John, let's, again, last chance, everybody, 866-472-5790, or email me at chris@chrisruisi.com. My book, Step Up and Play Big, how to tap into your ability to be exceptional, and 8 Simple Steps on Amazon, and go get it now, buy the electronic version or buy the hard copy. This is the last segment. So, John, let's talk about your leadership coaching. You mentioned that before about what your firm and what you do when you mm-hmm. place a candidate. Mm-hmm. What do you see as the biggest challenge of the folks that you have coached? Is there a commonality of the types of challenges they face?
Yeah, I could probably oh, by the way, before I answer that question, please do call in to Chris. It's a great book. Chris gave me a copy of it. I've read most of it. I'm almost through it. It's a great book.
Thanks, Dad.
Take advantage of his generous offer. In any case, three things. First of all, they struggle with getting involved more quickly with the team. A lot of executives are put under, and I won't say unreasonable, but pressure to produce quickly, and they're worried about getting out of the gate real fast. And that in terms of whatever their job is, whether it be marketing, sales, operations, whatever the functions are, they want to make their mark. They want to say, boy, we hired the right person, man, woman, a child, and this person is doing a great job. And certain things suffer because of that. One, they may please the boss, say if they're reporting to the CEO, but, they're not socializing the impact of what they're doing on their colleagues' function. They struggle with that. So one of the things that we try to do with the leadership coaching is to making sure that they're covering all the bases. That's first and foremost. Secondly, they struggle a little bit with how quickly do I make change? How much time do I take to study and learn more about not so much the business, because arguably they've been taken from a business that's in the same vertical, so they understand the business, but how that their new employer does business and how they focus their both strategy and tactical plans. So that's a second thing. And then thirdly, just becoming more indoctrinated within the culture of the firm. How to interpret comments that they receive from staff, from colleagues, from their bosses. What did he or she really mean by that? So we try to help them make sense of all that, confusion.
John, when you're the second piece you mentioned about how, when they ask you how quickly should they make change, mm-hmm. what kind of advice and guidance do you give them on that?
Go with some people are brought into a company to be change agents.
Yep.
And you know what? Sometimes those change agents become sacrificial lambs. In a lot of respects, some of those people don't stay with those companies for a long period of time. So what I say, you really have to understand the culture of the firm. You have to understand the backgrounds of the people. You have to understand the industry. You have to understand the customer base. And you have to orchestrate that all together. You can't just go after the percussion section or just after, another section. You really have to kind of be an orchestra leader and understand how the impact of change has on all of those aspects.
Yep.
And that's the most important thing. I find that a lot of the place candidates will concentrate on, one or two items without taking a step back and look at the big picture.
Okay.
And they're reluctant, especially when they're new to the company, which they obviously are, is I say, go ask for advice. Go ask for advice and counsel. Go talk to your peers and to your boss and to your staff and to your customers. What do you need? What are you looking for? What would you do?
Okay. Well, we're getting close to wrapping up here. But, John, before we end our discussion, what would be the two, as it relates to executive search and the mm-hmm. things we talked about, what would be the two biggest takeaways you'd want the listeners to walk away from the show with today?
Look at your search partner in a less transactional sense and more in a relationship sense.
Okay.
Once you find a good firm with good search consultants, stay with them. I can't tell you that some firms will say, well, we hired X to find us a new chief investment officer, and now they have a need for a marketing officer, but we're now going to go to another firm because they understand marketing better than the person that just placed the chief investment officer. If you find, again, if you have a search partner that has good process, good methodology, good success rate, it has invested in time in knowing your business, is extremely knowledgeable from a lot of different aspects, stay with that person. Number two, don't commoditize. Think about truly the value that, whether it be a search consultancy or any consultant, brings to the table. And, you know, don't think always getting the price down to a point that's really cheap or inexpensive is going to translate to success. I hate to use a corny expression, but you get what you pay for.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So those are the two major takeaways that I would think.
Great. Okay. For those of you who want more information, it's lcgsearch.com. And John, what's your email address in case anybody wants to get in touch with you?
It's John, JOHN.JAZYLO@lcgsearch.com.
Great. Well, this has been an excellent show. I want to thank John for all of us for his tips and information. But now it's up to you, those of you sitting out there, to decide how you're going to use this knowledge and change in performance, improve performance, especially in terms of how we select our team members, will only take place when you begin to apply that knowledge. Now, if I got what John said in less than 24 hours, Matt, my engineer, will have a recorded version of this show available on my show page if you want to listen in. So as we approach the end of the show here, I want to remind you also about my new product, the Chris Ruisi Step Up and Play Big Weekly Mind Jolt. And it's a simple and easy way to learn skills, tactics, and strategies that will advance your performance, career, and business. The Mind Jolt is a series of 50 videos delivered every week to your inbox. It's like me showing up every Wednesday morning for a one-hour coaching session. Now, the Mind Jolt will cause you to stop, help clear out the clutter that exists in the 7 inches between your ears, and get you to focus on the right things again. Now, the Mind Jolt is available at chrisruisi.com/Mind Jolt, and I've got a special for $225 for the entire year. So don't be stupid. Go get it. Now, go to my website, sign up for my Monday morning wake-up call, an excellent tool. And I want to thank you all for listening in. Next week, my guest will be Ted Rubin, a leading social marketing strategist, and according to Social Media Marketing Magazine, the most followed CMO on Twitter. So that's it. Go on out there and make something happen and go step up and play big.
Thanks for tuning into the show, Step Up and Play Big, featuring Chris Ruisi, can be heard live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Be sure to join us again next week.